All right, morning, everyone. We're Nida, and today's daf is daf Tes. Okay, we spent a considerable amount of time yesterday going over the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer and the halacha going in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer. We had a long discussion yesterday, but to really distill and to summarize the position, it's very simple. We pass him like Rabbi Eliezer. here at least. throughout the rest of Shas, there are four places where we for sure pass him like Rabbi Eliezer. Are those four places confined to Seder Taharos? Or is that throughout the entire Shas? That was yesterday's discussion. To Amoraim, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and Rabbi Eliezer, the Amora Rabbi Eliezer, commenting on the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, and yesterday's daf was so confusing because we also had to entertain Rabbi Eliezer the Tana together with Rabbi Eliezer the Amora. Okay, but we navigated, we got through yesterday's daf, and now we're continuing today's daf, but we're continuing really going back to the Mishnah on the four cases. Meaning Rabbi Eliezer says, the Mishnah's back on daf Zion. Rabbi Eliezer says that there are four women who are dying shaitan, meaning that as opposed to the first mission in the Masechta that says, call Nashim Dayin Shaitan, that's Shammai's position. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's only four women who are Dayin Shaitan. Kind of makes you wonder, remember Rabbi Eliezer, one of his issues is that he was a Shemuti. And according to Rashbam and according to Rabbeinu Tam, that meant that he was a student of Shammai. So it's interesting because if he were a real student of Shammai, I mean, it kind of makes sense, meaning, but he should then say, call Nashim Dayin Shaitan. Why is he limiting only to four? Okay. So, I'm not sure if that's a real kasha, but it's something to think about. Anyway, in the meantime, however, Rabbi Eliezer says that there are four women who are Dayin Shaitan. And they are the Besula, Mubers, Meniko, Zekena. So now today, what we're going to do is we're going to be discussing what are the definitions of these women. So I think we're going to cover all four today. Meaning today's daf test, we're going to go into detail and discuss what is a Besula, what is a Mubers, what is a Meniko, what is a Zekena. Before we discuss each one in of themselves, just basically, they all have a common theme. And that is Mesulakas Damim. Meaning they have a paucity of blood. Right? And it makes sense. Meaning, what's the whole point of the Mishnah? The point of the Mishnah is that for the woman who is not in any special stage of life, right? She has damim, she has blood. And so therefore when she starts going through her menstrual cycle, the possibility exists, although as we've discussed already since the beginning of the Masechta, we really don't consider this possibility. But there's a possibility that she started bleeding beforehand, right? The blood maybe took a little bit of a break in her canal, and so therefore, it could be that she had the status of a nida earlier. How much earlier do we go? So again, Hillel's position is that we go all the way back, but we don't pass like Hillel. It may say it's 24 hours. So for 24 hours prior to her actual witnessing of the blood, so she is a nida. So when she encounters the blood, so then we're going to revisit her last 24 hours, and we're going to say that she is Tameh for those last 24 hours. As the Gemara has said already, the Gemara will say again today, that's a Din Derabanan. This is Tumah Derabanan. Okay, but it's still Tumah Derabanan. That for her last 24 hours, she is Tameh. This is Tumas Me'eslais. Good. These four women, according to Rabbi Eliezer, are Mesulakas Damim, meaning they're in a state of life where they don't bleed. For four separate reasons, which we're going to go through. So because they're Mesulakas Damim, that gives another reason, another argument to make that we're not going to go back. Meaning, if she sees blood, because she's Mesulakas Damim, because this is not a woman that we expected to bleed, so therefore we're not going to go back 24 hours, and she's not going to be Tameh for the past 24 hours, even on a Derabanan level. Okay, that's the basics. And now we go into detail. We're on Ches Amud Beis, and we're starting, we're right in the middle of the Amud at the two dots. Ezu Besula Kol Shelo Rasa. Now, we start off with the Besula. Now, Besula generally means a virgin. And as the Gemara will be exceedingly clear over here, that's not what we mean in this particular case. Because virginity has nothing to do with Damnida. Right? Virginity has to do with a hymenal sac that's in the opening of her canal. And that is a separate issue. Meaning, yes, it's true that when a woman has her besulim broken, she's going to bleed. But that has nothing to do with damnida. And we're talking about damnida and tumas damnida. In fact, dam besulim is not metame. There's no tuma when a woman has her besulim broken. That has nothing to do with it. We are discussing over here nida. So don't confuse the word besula as it's normally meant with what we mean over here. The Gemara goes into the discussion. Ezuhi Besula Koshla Rasa, Tana Rabbanan. Right, third wide line. Nisis v'rasa dam achmas nisun. Yalda v'rasa dam achmas leida adaina nikorei la besula. She's married. And she sees blood because she got married. Meaning she had her first act of relations with her husband. She gave birth. I know biologically this is going to be hard to explain. I understand that. I'm not sure if I'm ready to explain it, but okay. Yalda v'rasa dam achmas leida. So let's say she gave birth, and she even saw blood on account of the fact that she gave birth. Adaina nikorei la besula. We could still call her besula, right? In other words, I don't have a biological explanation of the Gemara, but I have a very simple explanation, because besula over here does not mean besula. Meaning besula over here means virgin in the sense of she hasn't started having a menstrual cycle yet. Shari Basula, Sharma Basula, Damimbo Basula, Basulim. Right, Bryson says it very clearly. Because Basula here in this context means Basula's Damim, not Basula's Basulim. Iniva Amarav Kahana Tana Gimel Basula saying, so the Gemara quotes another Bryson. Okay, I'll tell you it's the Tosef and Shviz, but I will only tell you that because I have a note in the side of my Gemara. So, I don't know Tosefta's. I don't know Shvius. So, Gimel Basula saying, there are three types of Basula. There is Basula Sadam, Basula Karka, Basula Shikma. And the Tosefta and Shvius tells us that there's the Basula of people, women obviously, Basula Karka, and Basula Shikma, Basula Sadam. Now, what's the definition of Basula Sadam called Manshala Nivala? As long as she didn't have Bia. Meaning, the Bryce over here is describing what is the Basula vis-a-vis a woman? It means she didn't have relations. Nafkamina Kohen Gadol. Inam Luxivas Amasayim. And why is this important to know? So, number one, I mean, it's important to know in general, but halachically, why is it important to know? So, number one, you know, a Kohen Gadol has to marry a Basula, right? Part of the rules of being a Kohen Gadol. Number two, when you marry a Basula, so you write her Ksuv, and the Ksuv is going to be 200, not 100. Good. First Sugya in Masechta Ksuvos. So Basula's Karka. Now what's the definition of Basula's Karka? Calls Manshalon Nevda. As long as the land's not worked, it's what we call, we have the same word in English. It's called virgin soil. Right? So that's called Basula's Karka. Nafka Minala Nachalesa. Now, why is that important to know halachically? So number one, you need to know it because of Nachalesan. When you take your Egla Rufa, you have to take it down to a Nachalesan, a land that was never worked. It's gotta be Basula's Karka. Inami, Lameka Chomemker, also buying and selling. Buying and selling, when you buy a piece of property and the claim by the seller is, oh, this is virgin land, so if he's saying it is, it has to be. And if it isn't, it's mekach chaos. So then it's the sale's null and void. So, besula shikma. Now, our third besula from this Tosefta is besula shikma. I think in English it translates as a sycamore tree. Good. I don't know what that means. I heard of the tree. I'm just not sure if I can identify it. Sula shikma kol zman shelo niktsa, as long as it's never been cut. So nafkamin lemekach chomemker. Now again, the first nafkamin is going to be again buying and selling. Meaning when you're buying a sycamore and you're saying this is a virgin sycamore, never been cut, right? Just straight out of the ground, not been touched, not been handled, not been manipulated. So again, if that's your claim as a seller, it's got to be. Right, and if it wasn't, in other words, if it was somehow pruned or whatever, however it was manipulated, so then the sale's but null and void. And inami, another nafkamina would be la mitzvah b'shvius, in order to cut it during the shmita year kedinan. And what is that all about? So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Now we're in a Mishnah shvius. Ein kotzes in besula shikma b'shvius mimnei shi'avoda. You cannot cut besula shikma, a virgin a sycamore tree that is falls under the category of avoda. Okay, I'm also confused, but it's fine. That also falls under the category of avoda. That falls under the category of avoda. And during the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to do avoda's karka. This is considered avoda's karka, and so therefore you're not allowed to do that. Now, okay, good. Why are we here? Meaning a Tosefta and Shvius, followed then by a Mishnah Shvius. So it's very simple because we are giving a new definition to the word besula, meaning the Tosefta seems to be covering, here are all your definitions of besula. We have a fourth, right? And our Mishnah Nida. Our Mishnah Nida is talking about the besula who is dayan shaitan, meaning she's mesulekes damim, and that's not talking about her virginity. That's talking about the fact that she never had a menstrual cycle. So we have a fourth definition for Basil. So why isn't our Mishnah in Nida counted as another definition of Basula? It seems like the Tosefta is interested in giving us all the Basula definitions. So answers 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, four answers. Answer number one, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, ki ketanim yididilei shleishem levai. Avamididis leishem levai lo ketanim. So answer number one is, we're looking under the dictionary of Basula for those things that don't have an additional adjective describing it. Right? What's called, the Gemara calls the shem levai. Meaning we just want to know, what's Basula? In other words, I look up the word Basula in the dictionary. I don't really mean dictionary. I mean the Torah Sheva'al Peh dictionary. Right, and you look up the word Basula. So what is going to fall under there? Okay, the three cases. Over here, we're not talking about, this is not a Basula in the classic sense. Basula is like almost like here, like a borrowed term. Right, it means that she hasn't bled yet, as a Nida, as a menstrual cycle. But it doesn't really mean Basula in the classic sense. That's answer number one. Answer number.
It does say just Basula.
Agreed. That was the Kasha. Meaning that's why the Gemara felt it was a good Kasha. But that's answer number one. Answer number two, Rav Sheshes Bered, Rav Idi Amar, Ki Ketanim, Midid to Tele B'maisa, Midid to Lo Tele B'maisa, Lo Ketanim. So the answer number two is, it's something which is connected with a Maisa. Basula in the classic sense, right? What does she need to do in order to lose her Basula? She needs to have an act of relations. So in other words, there, it's the Basula and an act which will undo the status of Basula. Here, for when it comes to a menstrual cycle, there's no act, meaning it's menstruating, which is just the normal cycle of a woman. So it's not a basula in the classic sense where she is pristine, and because of an action, she's now no longer pristine. That's not needed. That's not a menstrual cycle. And then the third answer of the Gemara. Rabbi Chanina Breid Rav Ika Amar Ki Ketani Mida De Lo Had De La Briusa Mida De Had De La Briusa Lo Ketani. Also, a third answer. These are all basically speaking to the same basic idea. When it comes to the menstrual cycle, she will menstruate, but then she'll come back, meaning she'll be to a status where she's not menstruating. So menstruation doesn't have a permanent change in her. It's a temporary change in her. But as opposed to her basula, her virginity, so that's something that's lost and gone forever. So that's why this doesn't really fall under the category of basula. And finally, number four, Ravina Marki, Ketani Mida De Kapi Ala Azvini. Mida De Lo Kapi Ala Azvini Lo Ketani. The fourth explanation is, look, when you're buying and selling, and again, we're not going to objectify a woman, but when you're buying and selling, right, you like how I set it up as a disclaimer, and then, of course, it's exactly what we're going to do, but... Okay, we're not going to objectify women, but when you buy and sell a woman, so as part of the, as part of the selling points, however, you're not going to say, you know, oh, but she's menstruating, meaning it's understood that's just part of, you know, what happens. But as a selling point, however, if she is or she's not a virgin, that's important to know. That's part of the selling points. Okay. I'm so happy. Right, correct. You understand. I'm not okay. V'lo kapti v'hatanya, Rabbi Chiya Amar. Now the Gemara says. Now we're gonna fine. We asked the question: how come Basula didn't make it into the Tosefta of where the Tosefta seems to be going? Here are all your Basula cases, and the Gemara basically says menstruation is different. Meaning we're going to use the term Basula over here, but it's really a borrowed term. It's menstruation. It doesn't have the normal definition of basula, which is something which is pristine and you know, fresh and new and just changed forever. Fine, that's your basic idea. Then the Gemara just wants to know, as far as a selling point, our fourth answer was, well, you know, it's as a selling point for women, we wouldn't mention it. The Gemara says, what do you mean, v'lo kapti v'atanya? Rabbi Chiya Omer, k'shem sh'astor yafa l'isa kaftam and yafa l'isha. The Gemara here gives an analogy. Now, it's simply an analogy, but the analogy basically goes like this. You know, so'or, right, leavening agent, right, back, now we use yeast, back then they used whatever, sourdough, but it's good for dough, meaning it causes the dough to rise. Blood is good for women. Right, it causes a woman to give birth. Kaf kach damen yafin leisha. V'tayim Rishon Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Isha Shadam Merubin Banam Merubin. A woman who has a strong flow of blood is going to have a lot of children. And now you want to read the Gemara more literally, Banaha Merubin. It's going to have a lot of sons. Okay. That's the Sephardi in me speaking right now. But in other words, it's apparently an excellent selling point to say, right, that she's not only menstruating, but right, she's really menstruating. You'll forgive me. Alaki Kitani mida de kafitala zvini mida de lo kafitala zvini lo kitani. So the Gemara says, acknowledge point very well taken. we don't. The fourth answer originally came to us, midi de kapid aleha, right? Makbid means something that bothers you. Okay, fine. All we're going to do is we're just going to fine tune the answer. It's basically still the same answer. De kapid aleha zvini. People jump on it, meaning, but it's still basically the same idea, meaning that it's not the same. Menstruating is not the same as basula. Basula is something where you do have to mention, meaning it's important. It's an important point to go over whether or not she is a virgin or she's not a virgin, as opposed to menstruating. It's not a critical point, meaning it is something that people will be interested in, because, again, in Bismana Gemara, they felt that the woman who menstruates strongly is going to have a lot of children, but it's not something which is critical to mention at the time when you marry a woman. And then, as long as we quoted the Tosefta and Shvius, so now we'll just wrap it up. The Gemara quotes the Braisa, Besulas Karka, virgin land. Koshamala Rishushim. So, how do you know? Meaning, small stones are coming out of the land. Okay, that's how Rashi understands it. Avanim Dakim, right? He calls it, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Pardoya. Anyway, Rashi also gives another explanation. See Rashi inside. The Ein Afra, back to the Gemara, the Ein Afra Tichuach. But the land is not a soft land, meaning you know when the land's worked over, when it's a nice, fine, soft ground. Nimtza Bacheres Biadu Shenevda. If you find pottery, I guess that's, right, Rashi says, Mikitas Charashim, right? Apparently, these are scraps that come off the plow. Whatever the case is, you know the land was worked over. Tsunama. I know it sounds like tsunami. Tsunama. But if you find stone, so then Hariza Basula's carcass, so you know the land is pristine and virgin land. Okay. All right. So that takes us through one. We got four to go through today. So that's now number one. So number one, when the Mishnah says the word Basula, where the Mishnah says she is considered Mesulekas Damim, she has a paucity of blood, it's talking about a woman who hasn't started menstruating yet. Okay. Later in the Masechta, I think even in this Perek, we're going to even further fine-tune what exactly that means, because obviously age is important over here, meaning how old a girl are we talking about? So later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk more about this case.
So discussing the other virgin situations for what?
Just because we're discussing, we just want to know how come our Mishnah didn't make it into the Shvi'is talk, where the Mishnah and Shvi'is Tosefta was talking about, here are all the times in the Torah where we use the word Besula, and our Mishnah didn't make it there. How come? That's all the Gemara wanted to know. And basically the answer is because it's not a Besula in the classic sense. Meaning Besula over here just simply means that she hasn't started menstruating. Different story over there. Right. Now, Mishiyodea Mubras, Mishiyodea Ubra. Okay, another woman, our second woman. Who is Mesulekas Damim? And therefore, because she's Mesulekas Damim, so therefore when she, if she sees blood, which she didn't expect to, but if she sees blood, Dayashaita. You don't go back 24 hours, meaning her period of Nida starts right now. So, a woman who's pregnant. Now, remember, we're going back to a time where there were no pregnancy tests. Okay? So, how did she know? So, now, presumably, right, she stopped menstruating, right, as a good indication that she is no longer pregnant. But even then, what does that mean now? She missed one cycle, two cycles. Okay. Mishahukra ubra. So, I'm sorry. The language of the Mishnah is Mishiyodea ubra. when she recognizes her pregnancy. Okay, can we be a little more specific? So the Gemara will attempt. 3 months. So 3 months into the pregnancy now is where she has a karsa ubar. Now, it seems from the Gemara means simply that you'll see her stomach. You'll start to see her stomach grow. Meaning, it does not seem that this is really contingent on her missing her menstrual cycle or actually looking for a physical change in her body. Right? Growth of her stomach. The alpha pishen raila davar zechla davar. Now, the Gemara says, I can't tell you that we have an absolute proof for this, but there's zechla davar, meaning we can find a remez. Shenema vayikim shlosh chadashim v'gomer. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev, right, where the Torah takes a little bit of a break from the story of Yosef and tells us another story, and that's the story of Yehuda. Not a flattering story, but a lot to be learned from that story. Anyway, without going through the whole story right now, Tamar gets pregnant. Right, just cut right to the chase. Tamar gets pregnant. How do they know? Because the pasuk says 3 months later. Right. Good. So 3 months later, she's pregnant. So zechla davar krak siver agadoli. The Gemara just wants to know why are you saying zechla davar? The Torah is hinting to it. Sounds like the Torah is doing a lot more than just hinting. It says 3 months later, everyone sees she's pregnant. So mishum diiga diyalda lates viiga diyalda l'shiva. So the Gemara says because not all women deliver after 9 months, some women deliver after 7 months. Now, the world according to the Gemara, everyone knows, and we've gone over this many times, right? Your terms of pregnancy are either 7 months or 9 months, not 8 months. 8 months does not happen. Bizmana Gemara, and in fact, it so doesn't happen that the Gemara many times says that if it's an 8 month term, so the child is not going to survive. Again, Bizmana Gemara. But still, 9 and 7 are viable terms of pregnancy. Now, the Gemara doesn't say this. Rashi does say this. And that is that if it's a 7 month term, so then recognition of the baby will come a third of that. Oh. Right? So it's not always going to be 3 months. Tamar happened to have gone the full 9 months. Now, between us, she had twins inside. Okay. I'm not saying twins can't be 7 months. Maybe it could. Who knows? Again, this is all Bizmana Gemara. So, but fine. She went 9 months, so for her, recognition of the baby came 3 months later. But if it's a 7 month term, so then you'll see the baby a third of 7 months. Doesn't come out to an even number, so you do the math. Tana Rabbanan with the Gemara now continues. Hari Sha'itza Becheskas Moberes Verasa Dam Achaka Chipila Ruach. O Kaldava She'enu Shal Kayama Hari Becheskas. I'm sorry. Harehi bechez kasa v'dai shaita. The brisa over here, strange brisa. She is pregnant. Okay, or let's put it like this: we assume she's pregnant. Okay, she's got all the telltale signs of pregnancy. She stopped menstruating, and more significantly in this discussion, she starts to have a stomach, and then she starts bleeding, and then achakach kipila ruach. And then she aborted, but unfortunately what she aborted was not even a baby. It was what the Gemara describes as ruach. Okay, I don't know how to put that into terms that you and I understand, but it wasn't a baby. Okay, so okol davar she'eino shel kayama, or just, again, wasn't a baby. So, something came out of her, wasn't a baby. Harei bechez kasa v'dai shaita. She will still benefit from the status of being pregnant, and we're still going to say daya shaita. And here the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Now, the pasuk in Yeshayahu is not talking about pregnancy at all. The Navi's talking b'derech mashal. He's speaking merely as an analogy, and he says, "Hareini chalanu kamo yalanu ruach." We're sick. It's like we gave birth to ruach. We're like we gave birth to nothing. Now, but what we're going to do is we're going to just focus on the language that's used by the Navi. Meaning the Navi uses the word yaladnu, we gave birth, ruach, to air, to wind. But the point that the Gemara is trying to show from this pasuk in Yeshayahu is that even though it wasn't a baby that comes out, it's still a leida, it's still considered a birth. Now the Gemara again, same questioning. My zeich ladavar harei rai gadola hi. So the Gemara says, what are you saying? Zeich ladavar seems like a very clear proof. So the Gemara says, ki ksiv haikra b'zecharim ksiv. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's not such a good proof because it's not talking even about females, meaning it's talking about males, meaning it's a mashal, it's just a dimyon. We're just comparing to what the Jewish people are like, but pasuk is not to be taken literally. All right. Comes out now, okay, zeich ladavar, rai ladavar, the main point that we're going to focus on is that even though what you gave birth to is not a baby, it's still considered a birth. Okay. Viriminu. And the Gemara says, and I'm going to challenge you on this based on a Mishnah later on. Kasha sashnaim ulishlisha ulishlishi hipila ruachol kol davar she'eino shokayama hareze yoledes bezov. Let's say she's going through a lot of pain. It seems like she's pregnant, and she's going through a lot of pain, and she's bleeding for two consecutive days. Now, Rashi points out over here, and we're going to see this later on in the Gemara in more detail. She's during her Yemei Zov. She's during her Zov days. Now, again, biologically, this is going to be a little bit challenging, because in order for her to be a Zover right now, that means that she had to have been Anita first. Now, if she is Anita deep into her pregnancy, it's hard to understand. And I'm acknowledging that. Okay? I don't fully understand it, but...
But is Zava contingent upon her having her menstrual cycle?
Because after the 11 days, she's done. Meaning, from that point forward now, she's no longer in the status of Zava.
So it's always based on the second day of the menstrual cycle.
Yeah, that's usually how it works. I mean, it seems like that's always how it works. Okay, I'm acknowledging it's difficult to understand, but right now let's just focus on the Gemara's point.
She's not a basula, or she has a basula for
not our discussion right now. Our discussion is not basula or not. Our discussion is pregnancy. But right, we're number two. We're number two of the Mishnah.
She could be a zov.
I mean, in order for her to be a zov, that means that she had to have been anida all of 11 days earlier, maximum 11 days earlier, meaning. The 11 days of Ziva follows the 7 days of Nida.
Yeah, but could it only be just timing?
Look, it's difficult. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's just difficult to understand, but let's just focus. Let's not understand it. Let's just focus on what the Gemara's larger point is, which is the following. She bleeds. Now, if she bleeds three days consecutively, right, we all understand what happens. She's a Zava Gadola, which now means that she needs Shiva Nakiyim, she needs 7 clean days, followed then by a carbon on the 8th day. Okay, her status now is Zava Gadola. If, however, her bleeding results in the birth of a baby, so now we look back at that bleeding and we say, that wasn't bleeding for Zav, that was bleeding because she was about to have a baby. Women who give birth bleed. So we redefine what that bleeding is. The Bryce over here gives a very intricate scenario where it's her Yemei Ziva, she's bleeding, and on the third day of her bleeding, she gives birth, and what does she give birth to? Ruach. It's not a baby. What comes out of her is not a baby. It's Ruach. What does the Braisa say? She's a Zava. She's a Zava. So now, Hareze Yoledes Bezov. Now, wait a second, says the Gemara. Now I'm so confused, because didn't you tell me all of 5 lines ago in the Gemara that giving birth to Ruach is considered a Leida, and you quoted a Pasuk in Yeshayahu, that giving birth is considered a Leida. So if that's true, so then that blood is not Ziva blood. That blood is Tahor blood. It's birth blood. It's not Ziva blood. And so what is the Braisa telling me? Oh, she's a Zava Gadola. She bled 3 consecutive days during her Yemei Ziva. What's going on here? Doesn't make any sense. So, Amar Rav Papi. Now, the Gemara is going to give 2 answers. One is by Rav Papi, the other was Rav Papa. And they're basically both going to say the same basic idea. Giving birth to Ruach is not a Leida, as we all probably knew already. Right? In other words, the definition of Leida has to be that it has to be a infant inside. Now, it didn't, in other words, it could be that it was a stillbirth, but it has to be a baby inside in order for it to be considered a Leida. That is our definition of later. That doesn't change. However, remember what we're talking about. Meaning, don't lose sight of the fact that we're in the first parak of Nida. What's our topic? Our topic is retroactive tumah, right? The tumah of me'eth leis. So essentially what the Gemara is going to say is like this. In the general definition of Leida, this is not a Leida. If what comes out of her is just Ruach, or something akin to that, that's not going to be a Leida. But here in the context of, is she Tamei retroactively for the last 24 hours? Nah. No, she won't be. And the Gemara says, Amar of Papi, Hanach Me'eth Leis, the Rabbanon. Answer number one is, remember, our discussion is Tumah Me'eth Leis. To begin with, that's a Din de Rabbanon. We could be Mako in this context. And Rav Papa Amar Midi Hutai Mela Mishum De Rosha Kavid Aleha The Evraha Kveden Aleha Chinami Rosha Ve'evarin Kveden Aleha. Look, why is it? It's more or less the same answer, just phrased a little bit differently. Why is it that we say that a pregnant woman is Daishaita? That we don't go about 24 hours? The reason why is because a pregnant woman is not bleeding. The Gemara described it as Rosha ve'evarin kveden. Her head is heavy, her limbs are heavy, meaning that she's in a new physical state of being. This woman, even though unfortunately it didn't result in a birth, but she's in a new physical state of being. So therefore, if she started bleeding, we're not going to go back and say it's the last 24 hours, she's tummy. Because we understand, this blood is just must have come out right now, and we don't give her the chumrah of the me'eth leis of Anida. In the rest of the world of halacha, did she give birth? No, she didn't give birth, right? If she is bleeding during her yemei ziva, and what comes out is a ruach, is she a zava? You bet she is. Of course she is, because this is not a birth. Okay. Exactly the point. Okay. All right. So where are we right now? We're in the second case of the Mishnah. Four women who are misalekas damim, who have a lack of blood, and therefore for tumas nida, that we don't go backwards 24 hours, but rather die in shaitan. The first woman is a basula, meaning a woman who never started menstruating. A second woman now is the pregnant woman, and now we're in the middle of discussing the pregnant woman, and we have about 15 more lines of Gemara to go. Bai mine Rabbi Yirmiyah me Rabbi Zera. Okay. Question goes like this. Ra'asa, let's say she's in her second month of pregnancy. Or let's say she's in her third month of pregnancy. Has not finished her third month of pregnancy, but she's in her third month of pregnancy. Now, again, we operate in a different world because we have pregnancy tests, we know. And by the way, it's a fair question to ask. So would the halacha change in our day and age? It's a reasonable question. It's a good question. I'm going to ignore it. Okay, right. You'll speak to your local rabbi. Right now, however, the Gemara wants to know like this. In terms of the definition of a pregnant woman, it has to be hukar ubra. You have to have a recognition that she was pregnant, and that comes at the end of the first term, right? After 3 months. Good. Let's say Rasa, she sees blood somewhere right before the end of that first trimester, the acharkach hukar ubra. And then, right, a day later, a week later, she recognizes that she's pregnant. So now, mahu. Now, what do we say then? Meaning, because when she actually bled, she didn't have the status of pregnancy. Okay? Meaning, of course she was pregnant, but she didn't have the status of pregnancy. Right. It hasn't been halachically established. And so now, mahu. Cave into Bidna the Chazaloka Brahmitamya. So now do we say, okay, look, she didn't have the status of being pregnant yet, and so therefore that bleeding is gonna have now all the legal significance of Damnida, including going back 24 hours and retroactively being Mitame, anything she touches for the last 24 hours. Odilma cave into Samach La Chazai La Mitamya. Or can we say, well, it came right before the establishment of a pregnancy, so maybe we could be a little more mermeko. Right? That's the question of Rabbi Zera. I'm sorry, the question of Rabbi Yirmiyah, affirm Rabbi Zera.
I'm saying,
for them to know that she was pregnant by seeing, but the question is she pregnant, not pregnant, basically, whether you see it or not.
The Gemara's answer is basically going to be, Phil, exactly what you said. Amalei midu time alam mishum de rosha kaved alav ve'evar and kvedim alav, b'ina de chazai, ain rosha kaved alav ve'ain evar and kvedim alav. The Gemara says, look, as far as the status is concerned, there's a reason why it has to be 3 months. It has to be 3 months because it's more than just being pregnant, it's feeling pregnant, right? And again, right, I understand my population of people I'm speaking to in this room, myself included, right, we didn't experience all this. Yeah, so what do we know from this? But the Gemara in describing it says, look, it's a feeling of heaviness. It's a feeling of being pregnant. And that's what now gives her the status of Mushalakas Damim / Dain Shaita. So if she started bleeding before that period in time, she may be pregnant. In fact, let's even say she is pregnant. But as far as the status of Dain Shaita, she's not afforded that status of Dain Shaita. Good. Next, by Minei Usaba Mirav Yochanan, he gives Vesta Bimei Ibura Velo Bat Gamahu. Okay, for the first time in this Masechta, we're discussing Vestos. Okay, you'll get so used to this. We're going to discuss it at great length. Right now, we're just going to touch the topic. We're going to scratch the surface, and we're not really going to get into it until later on in the Masechta. Not that much later on. Tezvav, Tezayin. It's really where our main topic is. What is a vest? It's basically a menstrual cycle. And the idea behind a vest is very simple, is that if a woman has a regular scheduled cycle, and I mean clockwork, okay, and we'll be more detailed about it later on in the Masechta, not now. So if she has a scheduled cycle, so therefore there's an expectation that when her regular schedule comes, she expects her cycle to begin. In fact, there's one position, which is a vestis d'araisa, that this is halacha l'moshe misinai, and so therefore, we so expect it to come, that even without an examination, you bet it came. She's an Edom. That's one position. There is another opinion in the Gemara, which we'll discuss later on, which is that vestis d'rabbanan, that's only a rabbinic enactment, and it's not a d'araisa enactment. And again, all this will be talked about in much more detail later on. Right now, the Gemara has a very specific question specific to our topic. Our topic is pregnant women. So, and what do we know? That a pregnant woman is Mesulakas Damim. So now the Gemara wants to now know, she's pregnant. And now she goes through a vest, meaning she hits a cycle. Right? She hits the beginning of what would have been her menstrual cycle, but of course now she's pregnant. So, velo batka, and she didn't do an internal examination. Mahu. Yeah, so now what? Meaning, are we now going to assume that on one hand she's pregnant, so therefore we don't expect her to have a menstrual cycle. On the other hand, it is a cycle. She has a cycle, and she didn't do an examination.
After 3 months?
Hmm? Yeah, it sounds like the Gemara is asking even after 3 months. So the Gemara says, now I'll be even more specific about my question. I'm telling you that I'm asking within the opinion of Vestos de Araisa. So now let's assume, and Rashi uses the terminology of Halach LaMoshe MiSinai, meaning let's assume that this is from Moshe on Sinai. So now, Kevin de Vestos de Araisa by Bedika. So does she require bedika? Odelma kevin de damem asulak and lo by bedika. On the other hand, we can say that for this particular woman, it's going to be different because she is pregnant, and therefore she's in the status of misulakas damem, and so therefore she doesn't need to do bedika. Amar le tinisua. So he says, for that I can quote you a mishnah which you'll hear a couple of times throughout this masechta. Rebbe Meir Omer Maisa b'machba. Let's say a woman's hiding out, right? Rahman al-Islam, God forbid, right, the city's under attack, and we're now in the bunkers. And they go into the bunkers. Vihigeshas Vesta. And while in the bunker and hiding and being afraid, she hits on a cycle. Right, the beginning of a cycle. Velo Batka, and she doesn't do an examination. Tahara. You could assume that this woman's Tahara. Why? Shecharada Misalekis Esadamim. Because fear creates a change in her cycle, and it's misalek es adamim, and it removes
so
the blood.
So she doesn't invest anymore, by definition.
Ah. So taima de'ika charada, right? So what does that mean? It means fear removes blood. Now clearly that Mishnah is of the position that Vesas are Daraisa, because it's only because she was hiding on a bunker. What a strange scenario. But exactly that point, that the Mishnah is looking for that strange scenario where she's hiding out and she's in fear, meaning the Mishnah is looking for a case where she's in a state of fear. Had she not been in such a scenario, meaning it's calm and there's no anxiety, and she didn't do an examination, we assume that she's an Ida. So that Mishnah is clearly holding the Vestos or Daraisa. The Kemedika Charada, Dame Musulakim Velo Bai Bedika, Achanami, Dame Musulakim Velo Bai Bedika. Now, a woman who's pregnant, she may be experiencing some fear, but that's not the point. The point is, Misulak is Dame. She now has a status change of having a paucity of Dam. And so, therefore, she doesn't. If she didn't do a bedika, then she's still going to be fine. She's not going to be an assumed nida. Now,
it's like an onus.
Huh?
It's like an anusa.
Yeah, in that case over there, it's more of an anusa. But the point that, however, they're walking away was, even though she didn't check, she's not a nida. Now, by the way, a big discussion.
Even for the opinion that says deraisa.
Yeah, that's even for Vesas Daraisa. Now keep all this in mind. Meaning, you have to understand that you don't lose sight of the big picture. We're learning the first parak of Nida. We're not really discussing a woman vis-a-vis her husband.
Right?
We're discussing right now a woman in terms of Tum and Tahara. I told you, when you learn this Masechta, you gotta compartmentalize. You gotta say, in other words, there's Nida vis-a-vis Tuma, and there's Nida vis-a-vis her husband. Right, Issa v'Heter. There's need the Tumah, there's need the Issa v'Heter. Our Gemara over here that's talking about what her status is it discussing vis-a-vis her husband? No. It's discussing vis-a-vis Tumah. All we want to know is, I mean, really, it's, in other words, as much as we want to learn Halacha, but our Gemara is not really talking about her husband. Our Gemara is talking about, are we going to go back and look at the last 24 hours and revisit those last 24 hours prior to her seeing Dom? And is that going to now give off Tumas Meis Leis? That's really the totality of our discussion. So a big discussion, which I'm not going to get into, but just I want you to be aware, is that are the same halachas going to be true vis-a-vis her husband? Meaning, does she need to do a bedika vis-a-vis her husband? As the Gemara has just concluded, she doesn't need to do it for Tumah Tahara. Does she also need to do it for her husband as well? Right?
But yeah. She saw blood. She's in
does she need to examine? Well, the question that we just dealt with is, does she need to examine? Bedika mahu. Right?
When would she be doing this bedika? She saw blood.
No. In other words, we're talking about a woman who has a vest, who has a menstrual, who has a cycle, and what she's supposed to do is, when she hits the beginning of her cycle, she's supposed to do an examination. But this particular woman now is pregnant. Now she knows she's misalak is damim. Okay. So our Gemara's conclusion is she doesn't need to do a bedika, but that's vis-a-vis Tumah Tahara, right? There's another discussion. Well, all I'm pointing out is that there's a whole nother discussion that the Gemara is not having, and that is, what about vis-a-vis your husband?
Right.
Correct. I'm just saying it's a major topic, and it's beyond the scope of our daf, but just be aware that that's really another discussion.
So for Tumah and Tahara, all she wants to do is handle Tumah and Tahara. She's going to be fine without doing a bidding.
That's the point. That's the essential point of the Gemara.
And also, when she was in the bunker, and she saw blood.
But the bunker case, she wasn't pregnant. She was just afraid.
Okay.
But the Gemara's, she didn't see blood. The Gemara's takeaway point over there is that because she was afraid, she's in the status of now what's called Mesulak
is Damim. It was a time, but she didn't see. Right.
And so therefore, her failure to do a bedika is not going to change her status. Here too, failure to do bedika is not going to change her status. She'll still be considered a nanida. Tahor. Tahora.
Well, but, oh, You mean?
So I'll tell you what. Let's
Obadika, because if she finds the blood, we would have a reason for the blood and wouldn't even tell us anything.
Right. Okay. So let me move on because I want to get to the. Let's get through right. Oh, nursing. And if I have time, let's talk about old women as well. But let's first handle nursing. Tana Rabbanan. All right, Minika Shetikma v'chulei. Tana Rabbanan Minika Shemeis Bena B'Soches M'Var B'Chodesh Hari K'Chol Anashim. Ometame Meisayis M'Bikila Bikila. Okay. A woman who Rachman Litzlan, God forbid, her son dies within 24 months. So her status vis-a-vis Nida is going to be a status of. It's going to be a status like all other women. Meaning, according to this first opinion belongs to Reb Meir. According to this first opinion, her status of nursing is going to be contingent on nursing. She's actually got to be nursing. So therefore, And it works the other way as well. Meaning, let's say she nurses for 4 to 5 years. Okay? Right, I told you. Manny Ramirez nursed for the... There we go again. He nursed for the first 5 years of his life, but he tells the story because he was so poor. Meaning, he literally had... His mother had nothing to feed him, so therefore she nursed for 4 to 5 years. So and he's one of the best right-handed hitters in the history of Major League Baseball. Okay, and there's a connection? None. So not important. So the Chameshan and Daishai, the Rav Meir. So, but according to Rav Meir, her status of being a nursing woman is contingent on nursing. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Amrim, Dain Shaitan, Kol Asim Varba Chodesh. And according to Tanaim of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Shimon, her status of nursing has nothing to do with nursing. Right. Her status of nursing is she gave birth. In other words, we say nursing, but you know what we really mean? It means postpartum. It means she gave birth. But it's not really nursing. So therefore, let's say she nurses for 5 years. Good. But her status of being a nursing woman will conclude at the end of 24 months, which is, it doesn't mean nursing, it just simply means postpartum. Okay, Shetim Salama, the Divra Meir, Dam Nekar, Vanasa Chalo, the Divra Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Evarea Misparkin, the Ein Nafsha Choser, Ad Esrim Var Bechodesh. So therefore, what's that root over here? The Gemara says, what's that root over here is the following. Why is a nursing woman considered Misalek as Damim? Okay, so according to Rabbi Meir, cause and effect. Now, my second time this morning where I'm not going to give you a biological explanation as I will be unable to do so. But basically cause and effect. Meaning, it's because she's nursing, dam nekar v'naseh chalav. That basically the blood transforms, her menstrual blood transforms and becomes milk. Now, the Gemara does not mean, I mean, I know what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that her menstrual blood turns into milk. Okay, that's... The way I understand the Gemara, I recognize and appreciate science, not that I know science, but I appreciate it. Basically, what the Gemara means is that while she's nursing, so therefore her hormones are such that she's not going to be menstruating. Okay, good. That's basically what the Gemara means. So, dam nekar v'naseh chalav. By the way, you know, I know Shavuos was already a lifetime ago. But one of the reasons why, it's brought down, one of the reasons why we have a minhag on Shavuos to eat milk is because of this Gemara over here. It's brought down. Don't ask. But I'm saying it's classic discussion. It's not a contemporary thought. We go through the 7 weeks of purification, if you will, right? What we call the Omer. And then after that, so then we are like, we experience Shavuos, which we become like new entities, newborns. New people, newborns. So, dam nekar v'naseh chalav.
interesting. Svarim, when they count Domer, they have a pasuk. They say Velmav Domer, Velmav Domer Chayi.
And it's very good. It's very good. So dam nekar v'nasach chalav. That's one of the reasons why it's brought down the minhag to eat milk on Shavuos. Two meals, by the way. I'm embarrassed to tell you. Two meals on Shavuos, I eat milk. So the it's okay. I'm okay. I survived. So the, huh? Okay, come back to me. They said the dam nekar v'nasach chalav divrei Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Avraham is parking ve'nafshe chazeres adesim v'arba chodesh. And the Gemara says, and what about the other Tanaim? They say no. Meaning giving birth, the reason why you have a status of a menika has nothing to do with nursing. It is a simple fact that giving birth, it's hard. And her limbs explode. Right, to use the terminology used here in the Gemara. And therefore it's 24 months. It's just postpartum, that's all it is. Now the Gemara over here gets technical for just a moment. Lefichach the Rav Meir Lamali. Now the Lefichach of Rav Meir, was that necessary? The Gemara says no, wasn't necessary. So Mishum Lefichach the Rav Yossi. No, it's because we needed the Lefichach of Rav Yossi. Well, Lefichach the Rav Yossi Lamali. How did him Rav Yossi Tartislay? I might have thought that for Rav Yossi, it's really twofold. Meaning, it's one issue where it could be that she has the status of nursing because she's nursing. And it's a second issue that it's also postpartum, which means that she has a 24-month reprieve of she's just, you know, she's exhausted. So Kamash Malan, so the Gemara says that's the Chiddush of Rav Yossi. It has nothing to do with nursing. Nursing is not a contributing factor at all. It just happens to be. It's postpartum. Hachanami, I'm sorry. Tanyanami Hach, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Let me just get through this brisa, and then we'll run. Tanyanami Hach, Dam Nekam Nasa Chal Divrei Meir Rav Yossi Amar Ver Mispakim Ve'Nach Chozer Osala Adasim Ver Bachodesh Amar Vilai Mai Tamid Rav Meir Dichsiv Mitim Tahor Mitamei Lo Echad. So I'm sorry, that's a rhetorical question. I got to read that correctly. Lo Echad. Who makes a Tahor person out of a Tamei? Isn't it the one capital O? Right, the Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'rabana. Now, what are the Chachamim going to do with that pasuk? Rav Yochanan and Zushich Vazera. They understand the pasuk differently. When we're talking about making something Torah out of Tameh, obviously referring to Hashem, you know what it's talking about? Shich Vazera. Shich Vazera, the seed of a man, which is Tameh, right, as it comes out of the man, but then it becomes a human. Shich Vazera Shu Tameh, V'adam Anatzami Ma'o Tahor. Okay. The Rebbe Laza Amar, I'm going to stop over here because we're going to give a third explanation of what this pasuk could possibly mean. But again now, so Meinika, we're pretty much done. Meaning, what is now Meinika, a nursing woman? She's Mesulekes Damim. So the Gemara brings down two different reasons, totally distinct reasons in terms of why. One explanation is the Rebbe Meir explanation. The reason why is because she's nursing. So therefore, her status of being a Meinika will be totally contingent on nursing. L'kula l'chumra, meaning if she nurses for a month after birth, she'll only be the status of Menika for that 1 month. If she nurses for 5 years after birth, she'll be the status of Menika for 5 years. That is Reb Meir. What about the other Tanaim? Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, there was a third Tana. Rebbe Shimon. So they say no, because of Evaram is parking Meinaf Shachozeres Ad Esim Barba Chodesh. It's because it's postpartum. 24 months. Okay, and so therefore, and it has nothing to do, says the Gemara, with nursing. It has to do with the fact that she gave birth. Stop over here, and tomorrow, a little bit more just to finish up. We have to give a third pshat in the pasuk, and zakena, old women.